From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
It's good to be back with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. My thanks to Adrian for holding the fort down yesterday with Alberto and Sebastian Perez Novato. And with that, we welcome you back to the show. A lot to talk about on the program today. Whew. We've had a busy day today. Adrian and I just got back from the UTEP bookstore. Folks, let me tell you, again, they're rebuilding the bookstore. And, you know, that's the first thing. Second thing is, quick plug, I mean, you know, Einstein's Bagels is right next door. That's all I can tell you. Lunch for us, like within the last half hour, very, very nice and convenient. So thank you there. Adrian, they had some nice stuff. The home field collection is now there at the bookstore, so you don't have to buy it online. That was a plus, and just a lot of goodies we had a chance to see today.
Yeah, I was just so excited to be there, man. Like, you walk in there, the selection is great. It smells awesome. I mean, Einstein's Bagels was awesome. And then the bookstore was cool too, Steve. So, no, I'm just kidding. The home field apparel was excellent to check out for the first time. We also got a chance to see the Hispanic Heritage Month's line out at the UTEP bookstore. So, they had hoodies. They had sweatshirts that were under $40. I loved those. Those look very comfortable.
I also like the UTEP basketball, the Texas Western unis they've got right now. They got the jerseys over there, and some of you are going to say, well, you know, it's $100. Listen, anytime you want a jersey, it's basically $100. That's becoming the new standard, the new norm, whether it's a replica or whatever it is. And at least this one's like the 66 look, which I liked a lot too.
Yeah, I don't know what a good jersey price is for somebody. I feel like if you put $65 on it, they'd be like, oh, it's $65, you know? Like, what's a good jersey price out there? 100's easy, just easy to remember.
Last year we went, or was it like earlier this year, and they were blowing out a bunch of football jerseys. And I remember because I bought one of them. It was those like screened on blue football jerseys. I bought one for my son because his is too small, and I'm like, okay, I'll get you an adult small, you'll grow into it. And it was like $25 or $30, and I thought, okay, that's a steal considering what those things normally go for.
Okay, this is an idea. We're formulating ideas here. A Luke Laufenberg memorial jersey, recognition jersey, and proceeds go to the Live Like Luke fight station.
I love it. I just don't know if the UTEP bookstore will do that. Like, I don't know if they would actually allow the proceeds of some of the sales to go to something other than their bank account. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, that's a good point in itself. I'm not sure how that works either. I mean, they should do that's the only complaint I had. Out of everything else, everything was great. They just need the football jerseys over there. That's the one thing they need.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And by the way, they've had those before. I think those will be back. But, Adrian, we probably go to the UTEP bookstore a couple times a year, and you asked me about that earlier today, and I said, come on, let's go. So we just got in the car and drove around 3 o'clock right before the show today, and we went in, and they were working on redesigning the whole store. There was a lot of stuff going on in the front, and you could tell that they're not even close to finishing, but we liked what we had a chance to see when it was all said and done. We thought it was pretty solid.
I love the renovation side, too. It makes me feel like I'm at an actual, like, bookstore. I mean, I'm not saying what they had before. It just was a little outdated. Now it's more modern. They also really, really catered to the families and the kids who are coming from out of town and living at the dorms or living close by because they had a lot of, like, move-in stuff, which is still good. I mean, this is only September 24th. There's still newcomers or new students still around the area, so I'm happy that they're just being inclusive to those people and then getting ready for, like I said, you know, with the hoodies, the sweatshirts, they're getting ready for the fall. So I think as far as the bookstore, I haven't seen it as good as it's been in a while, like from top to bottom.
I think that's spot on. I really do. 505-6009, that's our telephone number as we continue. We mentioned we got a whole crew today, so we've got Sebastian back with us. We also have Alberto here, and Alberto's been shaking his head up and down like a bobblehead doll during the UTEP discussion for the bookstore. Have you had a chance to go in and see it for yourself?
Not the new updated bookstore, but I know it was looking like they were going in a new direction last time we were there. So, yeah, makes sense.
Was the last time you were there with us?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They've swapped the entire sides. The right is now the left, and the left is now the right. So they've completely switched the way the whole bookstore looks.
And so it looks more modern and a little better?
They filled it up nicely. It has a lot to choose from now, and one of the things we saw was, yeah, it's there's just a lot going on. They have a lot of things to look at. That's for sure.
They even had like pennants that were really nice of the Bear. They were like really affordable, $14, $18 to have these pennants that you can hang in a room, or maybe you can even hang in the studios here in the future. So cool stuff, man.
From the Don Haskins collection, when they went ahead and started, you know, throwing that out there, I think that was back in February.
Yeah.
For the statue unveiling.
Right, they went. They coincided with each other, and I think that's smart. They should continue to do more with the Bear line. I think people will really like that.
I agree. I totally agree. So 505-6009, that is our telephone number, 505-6009. If you want to get into the program, we'd love to hear from you. In fact, a lot to talk about on the show today. Oh, thank God we don't have anything new yet with the whole Mountain West Pac-6 situation, or Pac-12, or whatever you want to call it. But, man, it's, you know, we found out today the latest story is that they're suing. They are now, the Pac-12 is suing the Mountain West and basically saying that, you want to get us for the exit fees when we left the Mountain West, that's fine, but you're not going to take another $10 million to school for poaching. That is the situation. And the truth is, to me, the whole poaching fine is just garbage. It's total BS. Who knows who poached who first? Did the Mountain West actually talk to the Pac-10, or the Pac, whatever they are, the Pac? Did vice versa? We don't know who poached who on this one. We really don't. So, you know what? Take your $17 million exit fee. You're doing well there. But to me, asking for another $10 million, we're getting greedy here with this whole situation. And what's ironic is there might not even be a Mountain West when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and the other part of irony is the fact that all of this is fueled by greed, right? Like everything, from moving a conference to entertaining the idea to jump to another conference, all of this is based off greed and money. For UTEP's case, I was making this point yesterday, this is the only school probably in America where money, they're not looking to make a huge financial jump. In fact, they're looking for something to make geographic sense and to continue to excite their fan base, just in my eyes.
I'm 100%. Agreeing with you on this whole situation. Now, let me throw this out there. This is the craziest scenario ever, but it needs to at least be discussed once on this show, okay? But it's so ridiculous. Like, I can't even conceive this happening, but for the sake of discussion, okay, currently as it stands right now, the Mountain West has a total of 7 schools left. Remember, they were 8, and then Utah State decided yesterday that they were going to go to the Pac. Okay? So Utah State to the Pac now gives them a total of 7, 8 if you count Gonzaga for basketball, but I believe they have 7 now, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Because that's right.
Okay, so hear me out on this. So currently Utah State has 7, the Mountain West has 7. Right? 8 if you count Hawaii. I think that's how it is. Or is it?
No, there's still
7 with Hawaii.
Yeah,
7 with Hawaii. So these two schools are 7 each. 7 with Utah State, 8 including Gonzaga for basketball, and 7 counting Hawaii. Okay, so here we go. Let's just say that UNLV decides we're leaving the Mountain West. We're going to the Pac. Nothing can stop us, and we want to leave. Okay? And they go, and that now grows the pack to a total of 8, okay? 8 schools. And it now leaves the Mountain West with 6, okay? Whether or not Air Force goes really doesn't matter. And the reason I say that is the Mountain West is going to have to rebuild no matter what. They're going to have to rebuild either with Air Force or without Air Force. But chances are, if UNLV leaves, I would expect Air Force to also want to go to the American Athletic Conference. That's just the speculation, okay? Now, that might, again, may or may not. But think about this for a matter, okay? You really need 9 to play football because you want to have a conference schedule where you play each other at least once, which means 8 conference games. And you need 9 to play 8 conference games, because you're not going to play one team twice. So you want to play everybody once. So let's just say the Pac has 8. The Mountain West is left with 5 or 6. And they both need more schools. But the Pac decides, Well, the American Athletic doesn't want to come over. We're done with the Mountain West because, you know what, UNLV is really the only other school we wanted. We need one more. Oh, you know where I'm going on this. What if UTEP actually gets called by both leagues and has a choice, the Pac or the Mountain West? Like, this would be the greatest wet dream in the history of every UTEP fan in existence. Let's be honest. I mean, the Miners and their fans have always known for years they've never been wanted by anybody, which is why they're still in Conference USA all these years later. But now, these other leagues, they need schools. Like, they have to find replacements. Is there a chance that the Pac decides we'll take UNLV and Nevada, or we'll take UNLV and somebody else? Sure, there's always that opportunity. But in this particular little experiment we're playing with, what if UNLV is the only school left, Mountain West, the Pac wants from the Mountain West? Because remember, the reason why the original four schools started this whole thing was they wanted to get away from the Mountain West, and they felt like they could do better, and there were other programs that were dragging them down. Not to say UTEP would be an improvement from San Jose State and some of these other programs, but I'm just saying, Adrian, what if the Mountain West, who desperately needs schools to replace those that left, and the Pac, who needs one more school just to get to 9 so they could play football, what if UTEP fields calls from both? Then what?
Yeah, it's a really interesting conundrum, which actually could happen. I mean, things are moving so fast right now to not poo-poo your idea at all. It's very possible. And it's only been possible for the last 72 hours, let's be honest, because of how poorly the Pac-12 tried to assemble this conference. And they didn't really have a plan. They had a starting plan, and they hoped that the dominoes would fall at some point. They never did. Utah State, they were the ones who threw the wrench into everything right here. I would just say this, and this is what was pointed out on Twitter and X earlier, and I just say this. Fresno State is the floor right now in terms of per annual year spending on athletics. They spend $50 million a season on athletics. UTEP spends $41 million a season on athletics. And if you look in the red, it's usually in the red right there for a lot of its stuff. But they end up making money based on the bye games, based on football, and stuff like that. So I'd have to say you'd weigh out the two options, and you might – unfortunately make a decision that, I don't know, is going to make people mad. I mean, because I think those, in my opinion, if those are the two reasons, if those are two avenues right there, I'd go either way, and I'd be so much happier than playing Delaware in Conference USA.
I say you go Pac. It's a bigger conference. It's going to get a bigger TV deal than the Mountain West. It just is. It is.
It
it's
is?
Going to be. Oh yeah, it is.
It is?
I think so. You don't?
I guess.
Look at the schools that are there right now. And you're going to have UNLV. That's a major player.
You will?
You have San Diego. Well, this according
with this
to
hypothetical,
this,
yes.
This hypothetical, UNLV is involved. Okay. Like, if UNLV stayed in the Mountain West and they wanted to add one more school or two more schools and they invited UTEP, you take that every day of the week. Like, I'm just saying, if UNLV goes and you have UNLV, Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Utah State. You say to yourself, you know what? I get it. I mean, there's, you know, some former WAC schools, some schools that are just, but that seems like a more stable league, don't you think? It really does.
Okay, you sold me there. I just get very worried when it comes to college football competitiveness. They'd get killed. They'd be the bottom. I mean, they're already in the bottom of Conference USA. What would they be in the Pac-12, right? And then I love the idea of basketball in that conference. Basketball,
it's a massive league.
UTEP could be very competitive
that,
and it could be a 2-bid league. It might not be a
1-bid
league.
Or a 3-bid league. And I'll tell you why it could be a 3-bid league. UNLV, San Diego State. They're perennial powers.
Yes.
So is Utah State. Boise's even been good in the past. Fresno's had their little run. So, and Oregon State's a good basketball program. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy to think about this. It's the stupidest thing you could ever even imagine is what if? What if they got both invites? To me, it almost seems so unlikely and so ridiculous, it's not even worth bringing up. But who's to say that if the Pac does get UNLV and they don't want anybody else from the Mountain West because the other schools tell them, nah, we're done with those schools. We don't want them. But you know what? We don't know a lot about UTEP in terms of they haven't been in our league in forever. So, and we, when we were all together in the WAC, they were fine because Boise and UTEP were in the WAC from 2001 to 2004, and Fresno was in the same league with them. All these schools, San Diego State, Colorado State, they're former WAC schools. So they all know each other from a long, long time ago. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's so out there to even bring up the possibility. But since we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next, how do we know if UTEP's ever going to get the opportunity to be in one or both of these leagues?
If they're going to the Pac-12, you also have to consider Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, right? I mean, the coming years, they're going to have to renegotiate their conference affiliate and stuff like that. Could you imagine that somehow they're in the Pac-12 and then they strike the deal as well? Just coincidentally enough, Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Last time UTEP won a bowl game, 1967, was at the Sun Bowl. What if they end up winning their next bowl game at the Sun Bowl?
Taylor at Callaway 007. I think UTEP should pick the Pac-12. So there you go. There's Callaway, and it's not a bad. I mean, from a stability standpoint, yeah, you would think that the Pac-12 is going to be much more stable than what the Mountain West looks like after it just lost half its schools.
But from a financial commitment, UTEP could not move forward in the Pac-12 unless they up the ante of what that per annual year looks like.
Maybe
and that's
the Pac,
on UTEP side.
Maybe the Pac throws some money at them and says, you know what, look, we know you need a little head start. Here's a push. We're going to have all this money anyway. We'll throw some your way, give you a little seed money to get started and go from there.
You know, I love this. I love all of this right here. The conference realignment conversation will never cease. Mm. I think it won't stop until UTEP is in one of these conferences and out of CUSA. Also, I loved, like, rumors are flying everywhere, right?
Right.
Like, Hawaii's getting rumored to go to Conference USA if the Mountain West dissolves. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, like, I would love to be on that plane ride from Delaware all the way to Hawaii for a football game.
God, what if the Mountain West dissolves and gets absorbed by Conference USA? That's another possibility, although then it's growing so large, it's kind of turned into the league that the WAC was before it separated in the first place. And form the Mountain West.
And that's instability right
yep.
there to me. I'd go back to the Pac-12. Yeah, I'd weigh out both options. I'd be great either way, Mountain West or Pac-12.
Yeah.
I would rather be 0-12 for three seasons in football if I was a UTEP fan and just be, you know, competitive
in a better league.
Better league, competitive in basketball.
All right. What do you think, folks? 505-6009, our telephone number as we get going here on a Tuesday. So much more to talk about right after Charlie 1 and this traffic update. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. Adrian at Enemy Win the Number 3 says, Steve has lost his ever-living mind. We will be lucky if the Mountain West even considers us, let alone the Pac-12. Oh, listen, Adrian, I don't disagree with you. And yeah, I have lost my mind. Remember, I was off yesterday, all right? So maybe some of myself hasn't returned yet, like my mind. It's very possible. So, you know, that's just what it is. Oh, and by the way, if you're wondering where I was, I had a colonoscopy yesterday morning. First one. Strongly, here's my little PSA to everybody listening. If you're a male and you're 45 or 50 years of age, you never had one, go get one. It's painless. It's easy. It's peace of mind. And it's knowing that everything is okay. So yesterday, I was able to get a good result. Thank God. Told me that I wouldn't have to do this again for 10 more years. The preparation sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. Sunday was hell. But you know what? The procedure was a snap, and I could not tell you more how, you know, if you've ever been kind of like hesitant, don't be. It's worth it. Look, if God forbid there is something you want to detect it early enough where you can control it, the last thing you'd want is for something to happen, and you say to yourself, man, I should have gotten this done before it was too late. So my one, you know, word of wisdom or word of advice for all of you out there, especially if there's any kind of colon cancer issues in the family, get yourself screened, get it done. So that's where I was yesterday and felt great afterwards. And, again, very fortunate to be back with you here today on the show. All right. Full phone lines. Have I lost my mind? No. I mean, I'm the same crazy lunatic that usually comes on this radio show for 3 hours a day. But I'm just saying, I threw one scenario out there. Like, I watched Avengers Endgame over the weekend with my son. And if you remember that movie, okay, they have the snap. they lose half the planet. And then Dr. Strange says there's one in like 18 trillion scenarios where they can beat Thanos. One. And it turns out that that's what happens. Iron Man snaps his fingers. Thanos dies. All is good.
Oh, you spoiled it.
Oh, man. It's too bad. It's too bad. Nobody ever saw. If you didn't see Endgame by now, you got a problem. So I'm just throwing one crazy scenario out there. And it's crazy. Is the chance of it happening? Of course not. But just playing the what-if game. Look, some conferences are going to be desperate. The Mountain West has to add schools. Maybe the Pac does decide that they need somebody else and they don't want to go after the Mountain West, and this is an option. Who knows? I don't have any idea what they're all thinking, but I'm just telling you, what if?
Steve, what do you think they're having some thorough discussions behind the scenes at UTEP about this?
I'm sure UTEP is thinking all about it. Now, whether they've been contacted by anybody is a different story. I don't believe the Mountain West has reached out to them, or the Pac-12. And you want to know why? Because I don't think those leagues know yet what's going to happen. And I don't think they're going to... I think they're so worried. Right now, the Mountain West is so worried about keeping everybody together. The last thing they're thinking about is who to replace schools with. They're more worried about keeping the eight schools intact, or seven now that they lost Utah State, okay? And as far as the Pac goes, they're probably thinking, well, is there anybody else left in Mountain West we want, or should we look elsewhere? And I don't think UTEP has gotten to that critical point yet where either of those two leagues have decided, okay, here's who we want to target, let's reach out. I think that... the planning is there. It's just not there yet as far as is the contact.
Yeah, I would also say another part to all this, it feels like UNLV is the domino. Either way, whether they decide to go with the Mountain West and make things crazy, that's going to make a lot of people upset, or if they end up going the other way around. So.
Can you believe Utah friggin' State is the school that could be responsible for completely destroying the Mountain West?
The
when
Aggies.
It's all said and done? The
Aggies. No one thought it would be that.
That would not... played out of my bingo card no matter what. All right, let's go to the phones. I got two to get to. Then we'll get to SportsCenter here with Sebastian at the bottom of the hour. We'll start with Ruben. One line open, 505-6009, with you on a Tuesday. Hey, Ruben, how are you?
Good, Steve. Hey, I wanted to congratulate you on so many years on the job, man. I've been a long-time listener, and I have to admit I never call in. So I'm going to change that today.
Awesome, Ruben. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for listening all these years. And thank you even more for calling into the show. That's terrific news, man.
Hey, listen, man, me and my family, we were devastated when the Western Athletic Conference was no more. We used to get into those games. It was rivalries. We never got used to going against FIU. We were like, what's an FIU? Even to this day, we go to the games, but we're like, we're not into it like we used to be. I think if we went Mountain West, it would be so much more better for the fans. We get into it. Everybody knows where Wyoming is. Everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's that kind of a thing. Keep it in the West. But I have a question for you. Do you think they're looking at attendance percentages? Because if it is percentages, you're never going to look at UTEP. Our percentages are dismal. We have such a big stadium, Steve.
Well, but here's the thing, okay? I think that if you look at all the schools left for attendance, UTEP is probably ranking pretty favorable in both football and basketball. We used to joke about how bad the attendance was in the Mountain West for basketball. And we would look at UTEP and say, you know what?
Basketball has been bad for UTEP, man.
Say that again.
Our basketball attendance has gone down badly.
And you want to know something? You're right. You're 1,000% right. And Ruben, as bad as it's gone down, it's still better than 80% of these other leagues, which shows you how sad attendance is around this part of the country when it comes to college basketball.
Well, I want to just tell everybody, please be at the next UTEP football game. I'm going to be there. Let's go, man. Because, hey, Cade looked really good. We have a chance here. They should let him start the game.
No, I think it's going to happen. So as far as we know, and Adrian was there earlier today, I feel like Cade will be your starter a week from Thursday against Sam Houston, and excited to see what he can do.
Take care, Steve. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks, Rick. Appreciate you, man. All right, I know I've got the bottom of the hour, and technically, if I went right now to Sebastian, I'd be perfect, but Brian's been waiting. Let me duck him in, then we'll get to a Sports Center and go to Minor OK, who joins us next. Brian, thanks for waiting. What's going on?
Well, I know you're smashed for time, so I'll be really, really quick. These days, when everybody can get on an airplane and go play a basketball game, and they're not doing it by the bus, you know, geography really doesn't play a part anymore. But the thing, the one qualifier for me is I don't care if it's the MAC or the WAC or the PAC. I don't care what conference it is. At least they get, unless they have at least two teams go to the dance. That's my qualifier.
Brian, let me say this, okay, and before you wrap it up, I don't disagree with you about flying, but think of it this way. It's a lot easier to fly to places, you know, like, I don't know, Colorado, the West Coast, the Midwest. You don't want to have to fly to Delaware and Virginia in, like, tennis and volleyball and soccer and all these other sports. It's one thing where you can charter in football and even some cases basketball, but remember all the other sports and how travel costs do add up. So if you play in the western part of the country or even, you know, some place that are a little closer here to this time zone, that would save when it's all said and done.
Well, you know, we got people in this town like Rick Francis that absolutely, you know, it's Francis Aviation out at the Jeffport. You know that you could put a basketball team or a volleyball team on a private jet and take them anywhere.
Well, maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need El Paso's biggest players to buy UTEP some private jets, and then we can have a whole fleet of them to take the UTEP athletes out from time to time. That would save a ton of money on travel, and that would really be – that's the ultimate donation, right?
Yeah, it's not going to work with a football team. You need a big jet for a football team. But as far as the other sports are concerned, yeah, you can. These regional jets are just fine.
Yeah, maybe we need minor air. I appreciate it. All right, Brian, thanks for the phone call. 32 pass. Let's go to Sebastian for SportsCenter. Then we'll come back with minor okay and more in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso.
Thank you, Steve. Let's get right on to the headlines by first extending the conversation between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West's legal battles, one that originates from Oregon State and Washington State scrambling to fill their 2024 football schedules. They came to an agreement with the Mountain West to do so. However, the Mountain West included language that requires the Pac-12 to pay a fee of $10 million if a school left from the Mountain West to the Pac-12, with escalators of $500,000 for each additional school. This action challenges an anti-competitive and unlawful poaching penalty that the Mountain West Conference imposed on the Pac-12 to inhibit competition for member schools in collegiate athletics, the suit says. Let's head on to the NFL. Mike Tomlin says there is no need to name Justin Fields as the quarterback number one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Despite preparing for quarterback Justin Fields to start a fourth consecutive game for the undefeated Steelers on Sunday night against the Indianapolis Colts, head coach Mike Tomlin declined to name him the starter going forward over veteran Russell Wilson, who has been sidelined with a lingering calf injury. Let's head on to the Major League Baseball. The Kansas City Royals and the Washington Nationals are currently delayed at the top of the first with zero outs. Later on, the Cubs take on the Phillies, the Mets take on the Braves, the Ravens and Tigers wrap the play with the Tigers taking a 2-1 lead over Tampa Bay, the Orioles versus the Yanks, and finally, the Marlins versus the Twins, all coming to you later on today. And our featured games of the week are finally in. You can watch Franklin take on Coronado at the Sun Bowl this Thursday on 600 ESPN El Paso's YouTube channel. I'm Sebastian Perez Navarro, and that was your SportsCenter update.
Oh, good job. Hey, by the way, give me Navarro again and roll those R's like you just did. That is fantastic. Let me hear that one more time.
Navarro.
Oh, I love it. All right. From SPN right over to Minor OK. He joins us. Two lines are open, 505-6009. What's going on, Minor OK? Are things OK in your world?
Yes, things are OK, Mr. Kaplowitz. On your point, wouldn't it be great if the Pac-12 took New Mexico and UTEP? I mean, I'm an old school miner of the days of Ellenberger and Haskins. Even if it's not in the Pac-12, forget the Mountain West. Bring New Mexico over to Conference USA, and let's get two schools that should be together.
Well, let's
New
put
Mexico
it this way:
New Mexico and UTEP, yeah. And somehow get them in the same conference. That would just be a great win for UTEP, even if it's in Conference USA.
Do you feel like UTEP and New Mexico belong as partners more than UTEP and New Mexico State?
Absolutely. I mean, the old days, it was New Mexico and UTEP that were travel partners in the WAC. We don't have BYU and UTEP BYU and Utah in there anymore. But imagine having Oregon State and Washington State kind of as replacements for those two great schools that are no longer competitors with UTEP, but, you know, UTEP and New Mexico belong together.
So everything I've heard, okay, and take this for what it's worth, is that the Pac-12 has zero interest in New Mexico. Okay, none. I mean, they there's a reason why they weren't part of that, of the four that left. They're just not, they don't feel like from a football standpoint they're competitive enough to really be in the conversation, which makes me feel like, well, UTEP and New Mexico in football are very similar. They really are. I mean, UTEP has a better stadium, but ultimately New Mexico football and UTEP football have not really been competitive. So if you don't want the Lobos because of their football program, I don't exactly know how UTEP will suddenly become more more favorable to the Pac.
No, true, but beyond that, Albuquerque and El Paso.
Oh yeah.
Two important cities in the West. If either of those schools could get their act together,
mm-hmm.
New Mexico has, you know, New Mexico's only the second produces more oil. The only state that produces more oil is of course Texas. I mean, New Mexico to me is like UTEP. It's underserved but could have lots of potential if there were backers of the school in a big way, and that's why I bring up all that oil money that's present in New Mexico.
Good job, UTEP. Okay, appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for chiming in.
Okay.
You too. All right, let me say this regarding the budget. If UTEP was to get into a larger, more high-profile league, I do believe that it would be easier to raise money and financial commitments from those that have the dollars if they know that they're in a better league than they were before. And some would say, well, please, if you're in Conference USA and you can't raise the dollars to win Conference USA, how are you going to spend more to be in the Pac-12 or the Mountain West? Well, because people realize then you're just in a better league, a high-profile league. And maybe some of the biggest donors have already said, they get into that league, I will give them a much larger financial commitment than I would now in Conference USA.
Yeah, it's the brand of the Pac-12 that you would buy into on that if you're a donor. So I could totally see that happening. I mean, I think it's a really, really interesting discussion. And UTEP, competitively, they're not even there. They're not even close to being there, right? Like,
no.
They're like 5 years away from being at that level if they're truly committed financially on all their sports.
That's true. It's going to take it is going to take a while. But it does make things really interesting as we, you know, start to think about the whole grand scheme of things and how this is shaken out. 38 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009, our telephone number. More tweets, more comments on the app, and more of your phone call. Stay with us right back here with Bernie Olivas, a little more than 20 minutes away with our Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl watch at 600 ESPN El Paso. Back on Sports Talk as we continue. Let's read some of the tweets coming in. This comes from RRR Utang, our pal Ruben. Pac-12 or Mountain West, UTEP? Ha 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 ha. Get serious. They're not that desperate. UTEP is dying in CUSA. Ruben, all I can tell you is this. I don't disagree about any of the stuff you said, but location. And this is a different situation. These conferences now are desperate. They are more than they've been before. I mean, as crazy as this sounds, Mountain West is going to need UTEP. They are. If they're going to survive, no matter what happens with UNLV, they have to add schools. They have to add schools. UTEP is in a much different situation now than they've ever been before. Adrian, it's crazy to say, but we've talked about this. If UTEP does not get out of Conference USA now, I don't think they're ever getting out of Conference USA.
Oh, you're exactly right there, Steve. I'm getting scared. I'm getting nightmares thinking about that. Like, what does 2030 look like in Conference USA when Montana has come up from the FCS and Sam Houston State's in the Big 12, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, any window of opportunity that UTEP sees to depart from CUSA, I'm in the camp to go. Even if it's a step below, I really believe that. Get out of Conference USA.
Me too. A through Z at Z Monsters underscore 20 tweets Pac-12 over any other option. This comes from Leo underscore Miners fan. I just saw the tweets about Steve mentioning the Pac-12. I think they should try. And hey, I hope Jim Senter and Dr. Heather Wilson are setting high expectations for the future. Do you think UTEP could cultivate even more donors as time goes on? Oh, I 1,000% believe that the better the league, the better the situation for UTEP. I do. I feel like the power hitters, the guys, the people that are that have the dollars, you better believe that if they get into a better, more high-profile league, there would be a larger financial commitment. Why would you commit right now to Conference USA, which is a one-bid league in basketball and in football, has really zero impact on the national scope?
It's a real. I mean, you're hitting it right there, Steve, because there's no association with UTEP in this conference right now as it stands. You're asking donors to go out and get excited about games like UTEP versus Jacksonville State.
Yep.
They have no association with that school right there, Jacksonville State.
This league was dead about a year ago, and look what they did. Kennesaw State, Delaware, Jackson State, Sam Houston State. I mean, the best school that's come over is New Mexico State. It's not even close. Although now you say Liberty. Liberty was the best ad they've had. That goes without question. But what I mean is, when this conference was on, and by the way, the only reason Liberty came to Conference USA was Conference USA had to add schools. Liberty could not get into any other league prior to that. And then all of a sudden, when CUSA was in a place having to replace six schools that just departed, yeah, Liberty became a player.
And for Liberty, I mean, how many times? There's only once in a blue moon there's a Liberty out there who's literally independent and also having success in the sport of football and men's basketball and financially committed to athletics.
And Liberty will be the next program that will probably use Conference USA to eventually catapult itself into a better league for when the time comes. Heck, they could go to the American Athletic Conference. Who knows?
That's why I'm so worried about how fragile Conference USA is. If they lose Liberty, what does Conference USA have in terms of any sort of relevance?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
For football, it's nothing. You might not even have three teams qualify for bowl games, as crazy as that sounds.
Bad. Jacob Matthew gets into the show tweeting the program. The city is growing fast. The fans/donors would definitely support it. Scotty Walden needs some time to get his recruits in here and make some sort of move out west for 2026 would provide it. It would ignite a fan base much more than any coaching hire. Enrique Ortiz, I might be too young, he says 39, but when everyone was in the WAC, why did everyone leave UTEP behind when we were competitive? The Mountain West killed UTEP athletics, but may now be its saving grace. All right, let me explain. The simple answer is this. When the Mountain West formed, all right, it was a 16-team WAC at the time. And of the eight schools that left, I think the biggest reason why UTEP wasn't in the picture was they weren't as close to those original WAC schools like they probably should have been. And remember, who was the eighth school that was not an original WAC school that joined the Mountain West? UNLV. They were an original Mountain West program. They came to the WAC party late. But that was the eighth school to go along with BYU, Utah, New Mexico, San Diego State, Wyoming, Colorado State, and Air Force. It was UNLV. Could have been UTEP, but they chose Vegas. I don't blame them. That gave them a home for their college basketball tournaments for all those years, and using Las Vegas as a media, as a site to bring fans. It's a brilliant move. But that was why. But you're right. Why did UTEP get left out? Because it was an easy move to leave out UTEP. They didn't want to come to El Paso in that point. They felt Albuquerque was as, you know, they didn't have to go anywhere besides Albuquerque, and they weren't going to go 9 or 10. They wanted to split in half and go 8-8. And unfortunately, UTEP was the odd man out in that story.
You know, I remember, I mean, I'm also a younger a person on this show, and also for, you know, for our listeners, I would say that I remember at the time when UTEP joined CUSA, it was also looked at, wow, this is a trendy conference. This is new and innovative. This is, you know, you've got UAB, you've got Memphis, you've got East Carolina.
Yep.
This is truly what East Coast connecting to the Southwest as far as CUSA, and the plan was great. Now it's scattered. Now it's disorganized. Now it's all over the place. Now you've got basically CUSA becoming the feeder program for FCS programs looking to make the jump up financially to FBS.
You're right. And by the way, SMU and Houston were on that original move in 2004 also, and that was the whole plan with Dan and Alessio. Stay with the Texas schools. Stay with the Texas schools. Well, think about it. SMU left UTEP behind. You know, Houston left UTEP behind. North Texas, UTSA, all Rice, all left UTEP behind. Crazy enough, but all the schools that UTEP wanted to stay aligned to never felt the same way about UTEP in return.
Yeah, it was interesting because Scotty Walden was asked for a preview to the preview today for Sam Houston, and he had to think about it for a second about Sam Houston and UTEP being the only two Texas teams in CUSA. It's
crazy.
Terrible. It is crazy.
Chuko Wayne gets into the show. Could the Mountain West and Conference USA merge and create an East-West Super Conference? See, I thought about this too, Chuko, but the problem is then it gets too big. Now all of a sudden, the league is turning into what the WAC was years ago. And remember, we're not talking about a Power 5 going 16 or 18 teams. This is a group of five. Do you really want to slice the pie that thin, especially if it becomes a one-bid league for 14 or 16 teams?
Yeah, there's no question about it. In my opinion, way too big. Like for Conference USA, going that far? No way. Then what are you saying? That two teams, three teams get into the NCAA tournament automatically? No.
Yeah.
This is so disorganized right here.
I'm with you. So anyway, as the conference realignment turns, we'll have to wait and see how things go down. All right. We got 1 hour down, two to go. We got a full house here as our Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl watch continues. Bernie Olivas will be picking games with a special guest, and we'll catch you up on how we're also doing and give you everything you need as it relates to the 2024 Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. That's all still to come. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. Of the Sun Bowl Association here for 2024. Let's get right back to it, gentlemen, and we'll go, Michael, with you to lead us off for number 10, Utah, hosting Arizona. Now, the Wildcats are 2-1 overall. It's their Big 12 opener. Utah, meanwhile, ranked 10th in the country. They're 4-0, 1-0 in the Big 12, and they are 11-point favorites over the Wildcats.
Yeah, you got to go with Utah on this one. They're at home. There's so many reasons. Got to go with Utah.
Bernie.
You know, they did a heck of a job going to Oklahoma State and winning that game. I love their defense. I love the coach. And they did it with a second string quarterback too.
They did.
With a second string quarterback, a freshman quarterback, by the way. I'm going to stay with Utah.
All right, Adrian.
No Cam Rising, no problem. Give me the Utes.
Yeah, this was one of my five losses last week when I went against Utah and picked Oklahoma State. I'm not doing that again. I'll take Utah at home. We're all unanimous over Arizona, which takes us to our final game of the week, and that will have number 9 Oregon. Should be fun, especially with how they've been playing so far. They are going to get the opportunity this week to visit UCLA. Now, UCLA is 1-2. They're 0-1 in the Big Ten. Oregon, 3-0. First Big Ten game for them. Oregon, 24-point favorites at the Rose Bowl against UCLA, Bernie.
That's an easy one. That could be the lock. That could be the lock of the week. The Ducks.
All right. Quack, quack, says Bernie. What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, I'll say the same. Give me Oregon in this one. No question about it. And I think they even cover.
I'll take Oregon, too. Michael, any chance you're going UCLA here?
No, not a chance. 4-for-4.
All right, which wraps us up and gets us into the tiebreaker. Total number of points scored during the Louisville-Notre Dame game. Michael, what total do you have for us?
Oh, geez. I'm going to say 42.
42 it is. Bernie, your turn.
I'm going a little bit higher. I'm going 57.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's the one I went with, too.
Well, you got to go one up or one below.
I have 57 locked in here, but we can both have the same tiebreaker, can't we?
Well, then what?
Then who wins?
Yeah.
Oh, good point. All right. I will take, since you had first call. First off, let me hear Adrian's total, and then I'll give you mine.
I went 50. Oh, you
went how much?
50.
You can't do that.
All right. I will go 56, okay? 56. There you go, Bernie. Went 56 on the total tiebreaker.
So if they score a lot of points,
Yeah, that's right.
If they score a lot of points, I win.
You do.
If
you
there's a tie.
You have the high.
If we have a tie.
You have the high. You would have the high bragging rights on that. So that's true. And plus, you never know. That 56, 57 could be the difference between winning this week or losing this week.
That's exactly right.
Awesome stuff. How are things coming along for the parade? Congratulations. Just renewed your sponsorship. Saw that as well this past week.
The Sheen Weiss Interman Injury Lawyers have signed up again to be the sponsors of the Thanksgiving Day Parade. They're a great bunch of people to work with, and we're excited about that. I do want to remind people that on October the 8th, we have the Peter Piper Pizza Punt Passing Kick Contest. Please, anywhere from 8 to 15, sign up on our website or go to any Peter Piper Pizza location and sign up. And like I said, get a couple of a little swag to go when you show up and the opportunity to ride in the parade and be recognized at the Tony the Tiger Sumble football game. So you kids that are listening or you parents who have kids, boys and girls, please show up at Sumble Stadium on October the 8th. A Tuesday afternoon between 5. Well, as you know, show up at 4. The competition will go from 5 to 7. And again, it's a lot of fun, and I hope to see you all there.
I feel like this is going to be my son's debut at the punt passing kick competition.
Awesome.
I feel like this is right up Joel's alley this
that
year.
That is great. Yeah, hope to see him there. Hope he wins. But again, come on out. And like I said, if you have kids or if you're listening and you're under 15, come on out and register. You can register any Peter Piper Pizza location or online as well.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Michael, I know I mentioned you have the kids here. Do you want to mention their names and to give them a little shout out since they've been so patient with you over the last 30 plus minutes as you've been here today?
Yeah, patience is right. You got Edward, my son. He's 11. And Elizabeth, my daughter, she's 9.
Fantastic. Edward, Elizabeth, thank you both for being here. Do either of you want to get on the microphone before we end this segment and come back from the break? You tell me. Don't be shy, guys. I mean, these microphones, they do some amazing things if you want to get on the microphone at all. So your choice. Elizabeth says no. Edward is thinking about it.
Yeah, this kid doesn't have a shy bone in his body.
He doesn't
so this
look
surprises
like
me.
It. He doesn't look like it. He looks like he is... Oh, it looks like we're going to possibly get him up here. There you go. All right, Edward, you can say anything you want. So first off, Edward, here, grab your dad's microphone for a second, and I'll give you the opportunity to say hello to everybody. First off, tell everybody a little bit about you, Edward.
Hello, my name is Edward. I'm 11 years old, and I'm in fifth grade at Western Hills Elementary.
Fantastic. Edward, who's your favorite sports team? Who do you like the best of all the teams out there?
Like, what kind of sport are you talking
any
about?
Any sport you want. Who's your favorite sports team of any of them? Tough call, I know.
You and your friends talk about soccer a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite soccer team?
Probably Miami.
Because of one Messi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. That's good. Hey, did your dad do a good job today on this Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl watch?
Depends on you. Define good.
Do you think
he's
he'll win?
Throw me under the bus
do you here. Think he'll win the picking competition against Bernie, Adrian, and myself? What do you think? Do you feel good about it?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. We'll give him. Wish him some luck. How about that?
Okay.
That's when you say good luck, Dad.
Say good luck.
What's that?
Good luck.
There you go. Awesome job. All right, guys, thank you very much. Elizabeth, I think, was in the background. She was almost ready to add to that conversation. So you're welcome. Bernie, appreciate it. Michael, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You got it. All right, we'll come back, wrap up hour two in a moment. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. All right. 15 in front of 6. There seems to be some confusion on the Sun Bowl trivia contest. Both Sean, who texted into the show, and Augustine thought that Ryan Broyles was the answer. That was actually last week's trivia, or the week before. Look, the question was, who was the first player in Sun Bowl history to be named the CM Hendricks Most Valuable Player? Not the CM Hendricks Most Valuable Player and the John H. Fulmer Most Valuable Special Teams Player. That was Broyles. That was asked before. We wanted just the Most Valuable Player, which was, again, going back 70 years to get that winner from 1954.
Yeah, I know that there was a little bit of confusion there. That's why I would just say pay attention when Bernie Olivas reads out that trivia question. Sometimes there's a little two-parter. Sometimes there's only one part. So I think those people who texted that answer, they actually did a little more work.
They
there,
did.
Steve.
And believe it or not, they found the answer to a previous question because that was asked either last week or the week before. I forget which one. I feel like last week that was the Broyles question, don't you?
Yes, it was actually last week. So if they had actually guessed this one yet last week, or maybe it was the week before, regardless, it was a previous trivia question, and we had this one before.
So, but thank you. Thank you for really doing research and trying to get it right, even though you didn't. But I appreciate that. So thank you. And the fact that Augustine actually worked to try to do that makes that even more impressive.
And he called and he posted to me and then he took a screenshot and then he quote tweeted that one and tagged. He really just wanted the free tickets to the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. I get it.
I don't blame him. I'd want those tickets too. They're valuable tickets.
Yeah, it's always fun, man.
And the fact that he thought he had the answer but he didn't, and Sean thought the exact same thing as Augustine, makes it even better as far as I'm concerned.
Like minds, or what do they think? What's the saying, Steve? They think alike there in this situation.
Yes, like minds.
Like minds think alike.
That's right. Like minds think alike. I like that. As we continue here on Sports Talk. All right, 505-6009. That is our telephone number as we wind down hour number 2 of 3 here on the program. All right, earlier today, Scotty Walden met the media. And Adrian was there, and among the questions asked would be the quarterback for the starting quarterback job for the Sam Houston game next week. Here's what Coach Walden had to say.
It's, experience is the best teacher, right? I remember my second year coaching, we got down to our sixth-string quarterback. So I've been through a lot different than this, that's for sure. And as I've said before, I feel like we've got two quality guys that we feel like we can win with. Obviously, we're going to start Cade McConnell for Sam Houston State. You know, he's got he had a great week, of practice last week, past 2 weeks. And so whenever, he came in the game, he was ready, and I thought he gave us a chance to win. Skyler, is I still fully believe in Skyler Locklear. I mean, there's things that that Skyler has done that are great, extending the play, making plays. There's a lot of things that in that game that I know that he learned from, and he's going to grow as a young quarterback. That's what we got to remember, the kid starting his fourth game of his career. And that's going to be, it's going to pay dividends down the road. But I certainly think Cade came in, and when you get an opportunity like that, you either capitalize on it or you don't. And he certainly capitalized on it. And I thought he maneuvered our offense and got us in a position to win that game.
So that's your, the comments from Scotty Walden on going with Cade this week, or next week, I should say, against Sam Houston State over Skyler. And look, I mean, I heard yesterday's show, I heard Miner talk. We've been talking about this now for weeks at a time, and I've been saying this since the very beginning. Cade has the experience factor. Now, let me say this, okay? When the offensive line at times looks like it has against Skyler, I don't care who's a quarterback. You could say it doesn't matter if it's Skyler, Cade, Patrick Mahomes. If you're going to have no time to throw the ball, you're going to have no time to throw the ball. The one thing I do believe that Cade brings to the table, besides the experience factor and having won games before, actually brings a lot. I saw that, number one, he kind of fired up the team when he got in and got them believing, and a couple of touchdowns into it, they started thinking they could score every time, which was huge for him. He's beaten Sam Houston State. That's also big. But the one thing I'll say about Cade McConnell is he can throw the intermediate pass. He can throw the deep ball. Throws them well. Not to mention the little outs that have done well for them. And, you know, he has the ability to get the ball out quick. And by the way, with the offensive line the way it is, he's going to have to continue to get the ball out quick because he might not find that he's got tons of time to throw the football against Sam Houston State. You got to make quick decisions when your O-line doesn't have that same protection like it's had in the past, and that'll be interesting to see how they adjust for Sam Houston State next Thursday.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was the timing of the throws, which I thought it was. I was thinking, Cade's just getting the ball out faster. Yeah. I mean, that's why the pockets look a lot cleaner. But when I was really going back on it, and I was asking Coach Walden about the offensive line as well earlier today, it also was about establishing that pocket, right? I was talking to somebody earlier today. Cade established that pocket, and he was taking the shots. What Skyler does is he looks at that first read, maybe looks at the second read, but most likely doesn't, and then just goes for the run. Like, he scrambles, and he uses his dual threat ability to extend the play. Instead, Cade looks read one, read two, read three. Okay, I'm going to take the sack, or I'm going to take a hit, or I'm going to take one more second to throw the ball, and then I'm going to get and take a shot. And yeah. Cade took a lot of shots this past weekend.
I was going to say, if there's one thing you'll say is Cade will stay in longer in the pocket, get hit, but try to throw the ball to one of the multiple options that he has. And that's a big factor. Now, you don't want to see him get hit like that because eventually he gets one bad hit and that'll be the end of Cade. But you're right. That's the difference, is he's almost not looking to run as quickly as Locklear does. He's really designed to try to deliver the football to one of two, three, or even four different options when he's back there in the pocket.
And, you know, some people just say, oh, well, Cade's taller. You know, Cade, of course he's going to be better. Like, of course he's going to be better with this offensive line. I think that's the easy answer to say, but can you just also reiterate what you were just saying there, Steve? He's got the experience. He's faced other defenses in the past. He's faced FBS opponents in the past. So he's got the experience of reading defenses and recognizing pressures and stuff like that. So give him the benefit of the doubt. Skyler will be better because of these four starts. That's another thing to mention with this as well. It's not like Skyler's just the write-off quarterback. He was always the long-term project at quarterback.
But I'll say this too, okay? In that second half, the minute Cade got in there, and I know that first series was rough and then the punt was blocked and then the score, but once they got in and started scoring, that whole team, that bench, that offense, it had a different vibe to it. Everybody was fired up. Everybody started believing in what they can do. And you want to know something? That is so important to a football team, especially an offense that's been struggling to score points all season. You have to have that one individual under center that makes you believe and brings the confidence back. And that's the one thing Cade has always been able to deliver. It's his personality. It's the way he plays. And it's contagious. And it had that kind of an effect on the UTEP offense in the second half.
When they drove into the red zone in the first half under Skyler at quarterback and failed to score a touchdown, at that point, UTEP was 3 of 8 on the season in red zone touchdown situations. They are not scoring touchdowns. They're getting in the red zone, but they're not scoring touchdowns. They're kicking field goals, or they're not converting, whatever it might be, but they're just simply not finishing drives. Cade comes in and he scores 2 touchdowns. So to your point, a team that right now in points per game, they're one of the worst in the country. In scoring offense, one of the worst in the country right now. You've got to fix that part of it, and I think what Cade did is ignite that part of the offense.
I don't want to use this as an example, but I'll just throw it out there. Carolina made a quarterback switch last week. They took out Bryce Young. They brought in a guy that's been around for 1,000 years and has been a backup forever, Andy Dalton, who hasn't been a starter regularly really since his days probably with Cincinnati, even though he had an opportunity briefly with the Cowboys because of injuries. And look what happened. 300-plus yards of offense and Carolina won a football game last week. Sometimes you just have to go with the more proven, experienced vet and roll the dice twice and see what happens. Carolina did. They were rewarded. Hopefully for the Miners starting next Thursday, they'll start to reap the benefits with McConnell back at center.
And can you imagine if, you know, in the future, whenever Cade's done here at UTEP and Skyler's ready to assume this role as starting job, he'd be better from it. Skyler would be better from learning from this. And then you know what? If anything happens to Cade this season, Skyler's available. This is peace of mind and assurance that you truly have two quarterbacks, not this, oh, we've got two quarterbacks, but we're just going to commit to the long haul with one guy.
Two down, one to go. We'll come back, 6 o'clock hour next. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso.
From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. We also have Alberto Odueta, Sebastian Perez Novato, and we are ready for third hour of Sports Talk. Adrian, I need a favor from you, okay? So earlier today, Gloria Navarez, the Mountain West commissioner, issued a statement regarding the Pac-12 lawsuit. But to do this justice, I want Sebastian to read the statement like he would normally emphasize anything he discusses. But this is essentially the statement from Mountain West Commissioner Gloria Navarez. So, Sebastian, if you wouldn't mind, please read the complete statement the way it was read, the way it was issued by the Mountain West on their Pac-12 lawsuit for us.
Steve, you're doing me a huge favor. I've got a debate tournament to practice for in 2 weeks, so this is perfect timing. All right, let's do this. It is my responsibility to protect the conference and always keep its best interests in mind, said Mountain West Commissioner Gloria Navarez. The Pac-12 conference is challenging a contractual provision that is expressly agreed to and acknowledged was essential to the Mountain West Conference's willingness to enter into a scheduling agreement. All while, advised by sophisticated legal counsel, the provision was put in place to protect the Mountain West Conference from this exact scenario. It was obvious to us and everyone across the country that the remaining members of the Pac-12 were going to try to rebuild. The fees at issue were included to ensure the future viability of the Mountain West and allow our member institutions to continue providing critical resources and opportunities for our student athletes. At no point in the contracting process did the Pac-12 contend that the agreement that it freely entered to violated any laws. To say that the Mountain West was taking advantage of the Pac-12 could not be farther from the truth. The Mountain West Conference wanted to help the Pac-12 schools and student athletes, but not at the expense of the Mountain West. The Pac-12 has taken advantage of our willingness to help them and enter into a scheduling agreement with full acknowledgement and legal understanding of their obligations. Now that they have carried out their plan to recruit certain Mountain West schools, they want to walk back what they legally agreed to. There has to be a consequence to these types of actions.
Oh, that was beautiful. That's Sebastian Perez Novato giving us the narration for the Gloria Navarez commissioner.
I only knew like three of those words, Steve.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Maybe four.
Yeah, I'm with you. But look, the point is they felt like they were never, you know, they never took advantage of the Pac-12. Quite the opposite. Helped them out with football scheduling. Did it saying, okay, we'll help you, but let's not, don't go ahead and take our schools away from us, which now is exactly what essentially the PAC did.
You know, so why did she have to, who wrote this first off? Like, this was ChatGPT maybe asking them, you know, throwing it back to ChatGPT saying, no, make this sound better, make this sound better, use better vocabulary. And this is like the seventh edition she got back from AI. I don't know, Steve. This is so confusing to try to read, but I guess in no way, shape, or form did the Mountain West try to take advantage of their situation. That's what they were trying to convey in this press release right here. You could have said that with much fewer words, right?
I agree with you. Lines are ringing in. 505-6009, our telephone number, 505-6009. All right, Alberto, your takeaway from the statement you just heard from Gloria Navarez.
Yeah, they're trying to stop what's going on, but I think it's too little too late. There are definitely a lot of infighting between the Mountain West and the Pac-12. I think that, in my opinion, it's beneficial to both conferences if they maybe got together and worked something out where there's a merger of sorts where maybe like an east-west or north or south. But there has to be, I do agree that there has to be some type of penalty for leaving a conference that you agreed to be in, and someone has to pay that money. I don't think it should be maybe as high as the quantities are, but that's how it is. It's what the legal the contracts say. So yeah, if you agreed legally, do what you said.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, right? So yeah,
paying up.
Or fighting like they're going to be fighting for right now. All right, we got Gator Richard back with us as we continue here. What a great segue. 8 past the hour as Sports Talk continues, 505-6009. Richard, what's going on, man?
Go Gators, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Richard. How are you? Go Gators.
I'm doing good. Hey, all right. So we're here to help you. Knowing the audience of El Paso, the highest veteran concentration in the whole United States, right?
I've heard you say that before, yes. Yes.
Per capita.
Per capita. Per capita, yes. Right.
It's the facts that escape people sometimes. But anyhow, we're here to help you. That was the mantra the U.S. used where? Vietnam. So there you go. There's your letter that with all the big words. Anyhow, that's my take.
All right.
And my other take is, you know, we talked about the honeymoon being over. I think it's time for John Boy with the flat top to go.
Oh, done. You're done after four games. You've seen enough.
Well, Steve, come on. If they haven't won one game by now, they're not going to win any games this whole season. It's embarrassing. They lose to a double-A school, and how do you even begin to explain that away?
I mean, look, the reason they lost was they were outplayed. They were outplayed by an FCS school in the second half. There's no doubt about that. I don't disagree.
So, you know, at some point, You keep your chips in the game, mm-hmm, with John Boy with a flat top. You know the story behind that, but you know, if John Boy worked out like a fiend for 5 years, you know, and maybe even mixed in some PED for good measure, and then got a flat top. That's who we're talking about. Okay, I mean the guy walks around with 10 or 12 little plastic bands on his wrist. I mean, Christ, man. Grow up, guy. You know?
Now you're getting personal. You're going after his look. And those different bracelets all have meanings. And now you're making it personal. That's kind of – don't you have enough issues right now in Gainesville having to deal with what's going on over there?
Nopier? What happened?
Yeah, what happened to Nopier? He won one game. He beat some crap in Mississippi State. And now you're all excited again?
Hey, you know, here's the thing.
What? I mean, what thing? Look, he's going to be out of a job by the end of the year, too.
He should be out of a job if he don't start winning.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing with the Gators. That all the way back to when they won their last national championship, they should have been rebuilding and investing back into the program, which they failed to do. Now they're behind the power curve,
yep,
with all these other SEC teams. Look at Johnny Football. When he came in, you know, his thing was, you know, not like a fluke for A&M. Okay, they went into a massive rebuild mode, and now it's like the house that Johnny Football built. Okay, it's not a mystery why their program is you know, on solid ground.
Is it? I mean, they got rid of Jimbo because he was a total disaster after giving him how many millions of dollars?
A bunch.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. I don't exactly know that program's in good shape, too. This went after a coaching change, and they're still in a rebuild right now.
Here's the thing, too. Right up until this past weekend, if you watch College Game Day, they were talking about the Florida alumni mobilizing and getting that $25, $28 million to pay off Dipstick, pay him off completely, so you know they can start again with somebody fresh, somebody that's going to come in. And look, okay, so John Boy with the flat top, great, whatever. We spent a lot of money. He's under contract. Can we afford it? We can't afford not to fire Clown Shoe.
They just hired the guy. After four games, you've had enough. Give him a chance. He's given. Listen, I'll say this. I want to see what Cade McConnell can do at quarterback right now, okay? For all we know, Cade can go and next week beat Sam Houston and get things going in the right direction with the new quarterback switch. We'll see what happens. But, you know, you're ready to cast the judgment after four games. You're done. Checked out.
Okay.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for getting in. All right. I gave Gator Richard about 3 minutes longer than I should have, but I just wanted to hear what we've heard. He's got names for everybody.
Oh, man. He could have spent a whole segment on his boy Otani, too. He had too much time hating. He couldn't even praise Otani.
Has he even had a chance to call in and talk about 50-50 Otani?
No.
What is wrong with him? Why would he go after John Boy and not at least start talking about Otani and make the call positive and go about setting history in baseball? Why would – listen, right now, Florida football is not relevant. UTEP's winless. Make the call a positive call and talk about something that he's passionate about. He's passionate about Otani. Why wouldn't he go in that direction?
Yeah, if UTEP was winning and if Florida was winning, he'd call us and say something about Ichiro's stats and why aren't those counted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and for Gator Richard, I just say this. Look, man, throw your energy over to the Gators. Come up with solutions instead of figuring out how alumni are going to pool money together for $25 million.
Don't you feel like we should take Gator Richard to Mariners spring training next year and let him try to meet Otani face-to-face and how cool that would be if we can get a photo op for the two of them?
Yes, they would be a match made in heaven. I think that's a great idea. And then we could make the trip over to the Swamp right after that, Steve.
I think it's a perfect way to go.
And
I think,
invite Orly, too. Orly said he wanted to meet Gator Richard.
I'm sure he does. That's right. I forgot about that. All right, quarter past as we continue here on Sports Talk, 505-6009, on to Charlie 1 for this traffic update.
See, they told us about the way out. This is a busy intersection. Crash just happened in Montana and George Cedar, but a very busy intersection with a lot of traffic here, George Cedar, Montana. So give them room there. PD there, they're going to ask for the tow truck to go there. Also, Border Highway East has got it installed 18-wheeler there, causing a slowdown. Where else are we tapping the brakes? Tapping the brakes, CD lanes west and Missam, I-10 East, Cotton all the way through to about the Reynolds, maybe the Chausa area. There's construction going on, I-10 at Los Mochis, the Trans Mountain. So caution because you get that narrowing down to one lane there. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon, 78 years in business, famous tortilla soup, the party tray is popular, Mr. T specials, and family-owned and operated, Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Remcon, Charlie 1600, ESPN El Paso.
All right, 19 past the hour as we continue. Guess what, everybody? The Haunted Houses of Terror are back. Two locations opening this Friday, running through Saturday, November the 2nd. It is the KLAQ Haunted Houses of Terror. And, yeah, we are definitely excited about this. We've got the first location, Desert Warriors Paintball, 13900 Montana, and also 2155 Joe Battle on the east side. Two houses, own blend of nightmares on each of them. And you want to know the best part about this year's Haunted Houses of Terror? Adrian Broaddus is more vested in the haunted houses this year than he's ever been before. So
yes,
this man is an expert when it comes to everything haunted houses for this radio show.
I will say this. I will not be dressing in the clown costume. I will not be going as a Grim Reaper. I will not be going as a pig butcher, which you'll see. KLAQ Haunted Houses of Terror all over social media. If you want to follow us and drop a follow, that'd be great. I was even thinking, Steve, like this is brainstorming on the fly here on live radio. video. I was even thinking, do I resurrect Adrian's movie reviews, do horror movies only for the whole month of October, and tie this into the KLAQ Haunted Houses of Terror? I think I might, especially we've got some giveaways here.
Do you love horror movies?
Yes. I watched two this weekend.
Really?
Yes.
What'd you watch?
I got to go check my... This is stupid. That's you're putting me on the spot, man.
Did you watch them in the movie theater or did you watch them on TV?
No, I watched them in the movie theater. But this is stupid that I don't know, like off the top of my head. I'm disappointed in myself. Both of them were great ones, and both of them should get... Okay, first one was Speak No Evil. Oh, man, it was so good. It was such a... I loved it. I can give an actual review on it here later on. The other one that I saw, this was just recently. I'm trying to find it, and it was a really, really good movie. Never Let Go, Halle Berry in it.
Oh, really?
So yeah,
and, that was a horror movie?
Yeah, brand new horror movies.
Never Let Go and Speak No Evil.
Yes. Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Well, look, we've got a pair of tickets to give away. I need to figure out how we want to do this. We have a pair of tickets to give away today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday for opening night. Now, these tickets will not be in-house until Friday morning. So if you win these tickets today, you can't pick them up until the minimum Friday morning. But, Adrian, how should we give away, you think, a pair of tickets to the KLAQ Haunted House? And for that matter, I want to ask the Brain Trust here, both Sebastian and Alberto, do you guys enjoy haunted houses to go to? Alberto, let me start with you.
It depends how scary they are. I'm not a big getting physically scared in real life. That'll trigger my fight or flight, and I'll just want to run away.
When you say fight or what? Flight?
Yeah, you've never heard of the fight or flight instinct?
No. So you don't want to fight?
You've never heard of a fight? No, I don't want to fight a haunted house employee.
Well, that would be bad. I mean, that would not be a good situation for your status.
Okay, I got a solution for you. Your fight situation in the fight or flight mode. There's actually, at our 13900 Montana location, there's two haunted houses you can go in. One is the traditional one. It's a 25-minute one. Yeah. The other one, you get an Orbeez gun.
Oh, this sounds right up his
alley. And zombies are coming at you. So if you get scared, you just shoot them with an Orbeez gun. You'll be good.
Doesn't that sound like the coolest thing ever, where you could essentially be that hero that tries to defeat all the zombies and ghouls with an Orbeez gun?
That does sound like a lot of fun. I need to go out there and try that. Sounds like a zombie apocalypse simulation.
Yes.
So all the actual danger is eliminated.
That's true. Would you ever consider making extra money as an actor during the haunted house and being one of the ghouls that dress up in the costumes to try to scare people to make some extra bucks?
I definitely am gonna. I've been considering it. Now that I'm mobile once again, I think I'm going to do it because it's like a cool thing I can do on the side. And what if I have like a knack for scaring people?
Exactly. What do you mean now that you're mobile again? What happened?
I didn't have my car. I didn't have my car, but now I have my car again.
Your car is back.
Yes.
Is it running?
Yes.
Is it still doing what it always did?
No.
Good.
Now
things are better. It's running good.
Yes, it is.
Well, maybe now is the time. Is the is all the casting calls done? We pretty much sold for. We filled up for Friday.
We need more. We need more.
I'm gonna go Alberto. Out.
I'm going to be practicing in the mirror today.
This could be good for you.
Yes.
And not only that, Adrian has connections. He can get you in. This is your in.
Yeah, even if I have a subpar audition, I could pull the lever and tell Adrian, no, I need to scare people.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. So you're all about it. So that might be the way to go. Okay. Fair enough. Sebastian, what about you? How are you with haunted houses?
Steve, I despise them. Every single time I went trick-or-treating as a little kid, and we would go by those houses with the big skeletons and the jumping up terror clowns, I was terrified. I was genuinely terrified. I'm a terrible horror movie watcher. I'm a terrible haunted house participee. When I went to Universal Studios when I was 10 and went inside the Walking Dead attraction, I could not finish it. Quite literally. I am terrible at this. Horrible.
So maybe this year, let me throw something at you, okay? Maybe this year the Haunted Houses of Terror is your way to conquer your fears. Maybe we can look at it like that. Maybe we can use these haunted houses to change the way you've always felt about these particular type of scare tactics.
Well, maybe it could serve as a therapeutic session.
Yes.
However, I could also be that one 18-year-old on FitFam with the caption, "Teen boy goes out of KLAQ haunted house at a high school crying." So
what about the Orbeez gun idea? Would it, would it help you if, like Alberto, what if you guys teamed up together and you each had an Orbeez gun, you went in that haunted house as a team, and your mission is to use those guns and shoot Orbeez at all the zombies, and you're both in it like as a group?
Depends. Can the zombies also fight back, or just have the Orbeez guns?
How does that work? How do the zombies combat the Orbeez?
They chase you around, so you know they're following you.
So they're following you, but you have unlimited amount of Orbeez to shoot?
Yeah.
How does it work?
I think so. Like when you pick up the guns, you've got good ammo so that you can carry it through the hole. But they pop out of you. I mean, these zombies want to scare you too, so they want to get the fear factor out of you as well.
Yeah, I mean, in worst case, what do? You just take the gun and you whap them over the head with it, and you just try to clobber one of the zombies and do it that way if the Orbeez don't work.
But I like that idea. I like that idea, and I think it'd be great bonding for me and Alberto. So give us the Orbeez guns. Let's go do this thing.
Okay. I want to play trivia. Man. I want to play trivia right now and give somebody a chance to go to RKLAQ Haunted Houses of Terror. Again, two locations on the east side. We've got, and they start this Friday, one Desert Warriors Paintball, 13900 Montana. That's going to be where the Orbeez is, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's the Orbeez. The other one is 2155 Joe Battle on the east side. Now, here is today's trivia quiz. Okay. Everybody's familiar with the movie Halloween, correct? And everybody knows about Michael Myers from Halloween, correct? Sebastian, you know who Michael Myers is?
I do. My uncle was in for Halloween when I was 8 and wouldn't stop scaring me.
Jeez, you poor kid, man. You've been scarred for life, it sounds like. All right, even more reason why the Orbeez guns would be good for you. All right, here's the question today. Based on the original Halloween and Michael Myers, the mask he wore in the first Halloween and subsequent Halloweens was based on an actual individual. Like, if you ever know the movies, he wore a mask that belonged to someone in particular that was a pretty well-known celebrity at the time, and still is for that matter. First person through 505-6009 to tell me the name of that celebrity who really has helped inspire the Michael Myers mask is going to our KLAQ Haunted Houses of Terror. How do you like that question off the top of my head?
That's a good one, Steve. The only reason I knew this one is I'm a horror buff, or I'd consider myself one. This is a great one. I don't know how many people are going to get this one right.
Okay, well, we'll see. All it takes is one. And just remember, if you win the tickets, you can only pick them up starting Friday morning. So starting Friday morning. 505-6009, that is our telephone number. Simply put, we want to know the Michael Myers character from all the Halloweens. The mask he wore was actually a mask that they modified a little bit, but it was based on an actor who's still pretty well known. I want to know who the name of the person is who they based the Michael Myers mask on. And if you get it right, you're going. Two of you are going to our KLAQ Haunted Houses of Terror, which start this Friday. Okay, 505-6009. Good luck, everybody, as we continue here on Sports Talk. All right, I'm looking at messages coming in. Let me see here. Ah, from Gator Richard, who called in earlier. From Esteban. Stephen L. Kaplowitz. Wow, I get the full name and the middle initial from Esteban. How nice of him.
Wow.
What a what a nice way for him to greet me. In case you are not aware, Dick is a well-established and recognized nickname for Richard. You may be familiar with the following: Dick Cheney, Dick Wolf, Dick Clark, Dick Butkus, Dick Vitale, and now our very own Gator Dick, coming from Esteban. Thank you, Esteban. By the way, Esteban knows Pinky. Pinky's been referring to him as that forever.
Yes.
So chances are maybe the two of them have talked recently, and when Pinky told Esteban that, he decided to elaborate on that and give us the full explanation on how that works out. So thank you. Appreciate that. And yes, I am fully aware of the nickname for Richard. Poncho gets in on the show and says, I don't agree with some of the decisions, but he needs time to develop the program. I'm sure he learned that good FCS quarterbacks don't necessarily make good FBS quarterbacks. He also needs to adapt to being an FBS coach. He'll do a good job with time. This comes from Poncho on Twitter and X, talking about Scotty Walden. Also, from Gabriel Martinez regarding UTEP and CUSA. It's all we've been asking for all these years, suffering in CUSA. Get us out. Get us in the pack already. It's all schools you've been in conference with before. With the exception, really, of Washington State and Oregon State, he's right. That is 100% correct. So I appreciate that. And Joe Chacon, have you never heard of this? Steve, the fight or flight response is a physiological reaction to a perceived threat that prepares the body to fight or flee. Hashtag come on, man. Hashtag repping from Colorado now. Hashtag big news coming. Hashtag Steve, Steve or the believer. So thank you. Appreciate that, Joe. Fight or flight. All right. Happy to know that. See, sometimes you learn something new.
Big news coming from Joe Chacon.
Do we know what that is?
No. Maybe he's moving.
Maybe.
Maybe he's moving to El Paso.
God help us all if that's the case. Do we have an answer to trivia?
We do.
We got
have
a winner.
Correct answer.
We've
yes.
got a winner.
Shout out to James.
Way to go, James. I was looking for William Shatner. William Shatner, it was a Captain Kirk mask that they essentially modified and turned it into Michael Myers because in 1977 or 78, whatever year they started the Halloween filming, I think it came out in 78 and they started filming in 77. William Shatner and Captain Kirk was still a very big deal in like 1977. So yes, well done and enjoy the two tickets you can pick up starting Friday morning to the KLAQ Haunted Houses of Terror. We have one last Sports Center update. Let's bring him back, Sebastian Perez Navarro, for one more update as we continue. Thank you, Sebastian. Appreciate it. Esteban's back on Twitter. Michael Myers owns Artovino's Pizza. Well, he does with his brother Carl. That's another good point. Yes, there is a Mike Myers. By the way, think about this. How cool is this? You have Mike Myers, who was on Saturday Night Live and played Wayne in Wayne's World, and he was in all these other great movies like Austin Powers and everything else. Then you've got Michael Myers, who is the slasher from the Halloween movies, and our very own Michael or Mike Myers, depending on how well you know him in El Paso, who, along with his brother Carl, are the owners of the Artovino's Pizza Chains here in El Paso. So Esteban is right again. He is one of the co-owners of that, and good catch there. Good catch.
You know, I really like that. I feel like if you walked around and you were Michael Myers is your name, I mean, how could you not dress up as Michael Myers during Halloween?
Which one do you take, though? Do you take the Michael Myers from Halloween, or do you go the Mike Myers from either Wayne's World or Austin Powers?
I think you switch it up and rotate it every Halloween.
Is that what you do?
I think you do that, yeah. And you every Halloween, you know that you're going to be one of the three. So you've got that down, and it's easy to coordinate. So if you've got a significant other, they could go as Garth.
Yep, that's true.
You know, maybe Jamie Lee Curtis or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of really good possibilities here.
Also, another well-known fact that nobody knows about besides Adrian and yours truly, Mike Myers from El Paso is in our Guillotine Football League.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's
you didn't
right.
even
that's,
know that.
I didn't know that right there.
Yes,
like,
he's in our Guillotine League.
Wow. Well, I hope he exits before Halloween.
He might have actually just gotten chopped this week, if I'm not mistaken. I think he might have been the one that that finished out of the out of the money. So I got to double check that, but I'm almost positive that's the case.
I love Guillotine Fantasy. That's the only thing I'm going to say right now. And by the way, favorite Halloween movie for me, I think it's going to be 1 and 3.
Mike's done.
Oh, he lost already. Good.
Yeah. Goonga La Goonga is done.
Okay. I'm rooting for everybody to lose, including you, Steve.
Well, you should be, but that's the chances of that happening aren't going to be as popular as you think right now. So we'll see if you look out with that. I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good with my team.
Yeah, you scored a lot of points in this league, so I've barely squeaked by.
Nah, you'll be all right. I got lucky because I happen to have a couple of really good ones that have been carrying my team the whole time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I had to go all in on Bijan Robinson. Paid $550 for him last week in our fake money.
Yeah, you only get $1,000 to spend, so it's a good investment until you get knocked out and then somebody else gets him.
If you don't pay for him now, you might not have next week to even pay anybody.
That's true. Headbanger Pete checking into the program. Appreciate you, Headbanger Pete. What kind of crowd do you think will show up to the Sun Bowl next Thursday? I'm thinking 19,000, says Headbanger Pete. Headbanger Pete, I feel like that is a very, very optimistic crowd total for Sam Houston State on a Thursday. I don't know. Adrian, I'm going to probably say closer to maybe 12 to 15. I don't know if they're going to get close to 20 for Sam Houston State on a Thursday night.
You know, I'm doing some quick digging to see if I could find any of the October games, and as far as their attendance goes from last year, that'd give us a better indication. Okay, here we go. 9,000 for La Tech.
Oh God.
Okay, 19,000 for New Mexico State.
That's the Aggies.
Yeah, and that's the Aggies.
Yeah, you can't even discuss that.
You can't even discuss that one right there. So I'm going to say 13 to 15.
I feel like that 12 to 15 is a safer range than 19 right now. Although I did get a text a little while ago from Hornado, and here is the text of what it said. Hornado Middle. UTEP Athletics Ticketing Department is excited to offer Hornado Middle School the Hometown Night offer. Use this link to claim a two-ticket special offer of $12, $6 per ticket for their Hispanic Heritage game on October the 3rd. Let's show our support for our UTEP Miners. Now, if everybody in EPISD is getting these for Hometown Night and the Hispanic Heritage Game, then EPISD sells a bunch of tickets, and maybe SISD and YISD are all a part of this, along with Kenyatta Independent School District. Maybe they can do well with this if they utilize all the schools to get these $6 tickets.
The uphill battle is the fact that all those Hornado students have to go to school the next day, right?
And that's true.
All the parents have to take all the kids to school and stuff like that. Like, doing this on a Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at the Sun Bowl is an uphill battle. Let's just call it what it is. It's an absolute uphill battle to get anybody there. People will tune in. I mean, I guarantee that, Steve. Everybody's going to be tuning in on ESPN. They're going to have that accessibility. You might even see UTEP go viral at points. That's the reality of playing these weeknight games that are on ESPN.
But remember, you're also going opposite the Thursday night football game. That's also tough.
Yeah. So then, I mean, I'd rather, honestly, if you're going to go weeknight, I'd rather go Tuesday, Wednesday.
I would too. You got the whole thing in front of you, and I like that also. Meanwhile, I just took a look at the seat chart for the game coming up. They got work to do. Just if you look at this, and Alberto, you can see the same map I see. They've got some work to do. I think 19 is really, really nice. I'm thinking much closer to 10 to 12 unless we start to see a spike over the next week.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed by a sea of blue seats there. So, yeah, that's disappointing to see. October 3rd, the NFL, the Thursday night football game is the Buccaneers at Falcons.
Ugh, that's not gonna affect this football game one bit.
No.
They gotta get people to start buying tickets. That's the key. And these $6 seats are probably a good way if they can get enough people involved to really trigger that. And I hope they do.
It's definitely a bargain. And I'll ask this: does the announcement of Cade being the starting quarterback on October 3rd, does that play any effect into this?
Move the needle.
In any direction? Does anyone, any fans?
Well, let's put it this way: I don't think it hurts. Okay, to answer your question. Oh, by the way, if you think the press box is blue, take a look at the east side of the stadium. Look at sections 20 to 26. Good night. I mean,
that's overwhelming.
Bring a can to the game. Go in free.
Well, that would be a Roman meals, Roman bread wrapper back from the old days. But look, I hope they get fans. I really do. I'm hoping that, you know, they'll get to 10,000. But the realistic thing is this: they're 0-4.
Maybe
they're not
1-3.
They're not 2-2. They're not 3-1. They're 0-4 with a quarterback change, and they're playing on a Thursday night. Those aren't exactly good trends heading into a game a week from Thursday.
And, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, even though you have the bundles, there's going to be people who call us and say that, you know, you bring a family of 4, 5, 6 to a game and it becomes costly. And those are all valid points, you know.
Not at $6 a ticket.
I'm just saying that, you know, if you've got something to do on a Thursday night, or if you've got the rest of the weekend ahead of you, then just to go out and spend that kind of money for a whole family, it's difficult. I'm just saying that, you know,
look,
with food on top of it, it's just there's a lot of entertainment values out there, and you could be at home watching this game on ESPN from the comfort of your couch and not have to pay much.
Or eat dinner before the game, show up at kickoff for $6 and go watch them play.
That's right. I mean, look, hey, you're not going to have to convince me to go watch college football. You know, good or bad, win or lose, I'm watching college football in my town because I love to watch football.
There you go. All right, we'll come back, wrap things up, final countdown next. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.